Hopefully you've noticed as you gathered this morning, looked through the bulletin, looked at the sermon title and the hymns. Hopefully you noticed that the hymns seem to be in contrast to that sermon title. Now usually, hopefully you also notice that I like the hymns to be connected in some way with the theme of the service. But today, they seem to be at odds, the other end of the spectrum from each other. Beauty and softness and gentleness against the sermon title of God's anger. Well, I did that for two reasons. First, I intentionally wanted to draw a distinct contrast. And secondly, I couldn't find any hymns that portrayed God's anger. And that's a lesson in and of itself. We need to know that God gets angry, but he doesn't leave us there. He always leaves us with love and in a growing place. Our scripture this morning comes from Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Turn in your Bibles with me as we read those verses, Mark 3, 1 through 6. Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, and so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But those he was asking remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Does God get angry? Well, some would say, well, you know, he used to. He was angry sometimes in the Old Testament, but then, you know, Jesus came along, and God doesn't get angry in the New Testament. Really? Is that what we just read? You know, here might be one of those many learned truths that we grow up understanding and take to heart and believe, and then we get our hair on the back of our neck up in a little rile when somebody tells us that ain't necessarily so. I'm here to tell you that God does get angry. He got angry, as we read from the Old Testament accounts, and he got angry in the New Testament accounts as well. And guess what? He still gets angry. "Preacher, why are you telling me this? I don't want to know that God gets angry. I like my picture of a gracious, giving, loving God, tamed, so to speak, by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Why do I need to be reminded of the ugly side? Why do I need to be reminded that God gets angry?" Well, I think it's important because we get angry. And I know that we can be conflicted sometimes when we are angry. You see, the Jesus in us tells us that we should turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Love our neighbors. But man, I just can't do that all the time. I get angry, and if I don't know that God gets angry, then I can spend a lot of time beating myself up in the name of righteousness if I think that I'm not a Christian because I got angry. I've known for some time that God gets angry and that it's okay. What I had a problem with for a long time is that I couldn't give my life to God and be a pastor because, well, I knew I was a sinner. Well, that's not just past tense. I knew that I get angry. And I knew well enough that I didn't have the faith not to get angry. I'd never seen a pastor angry. I'd never seen a pastor red in the face, eyes bulging, lips pursed. But while on my last mile toward giving in to my call to be a pastor, I saw a pastor get angry. A Methodist pastor actually got angry and took decisive action. You see, we were living in Italy, working with active duty Air Force and Army families, and consequently we lived near the United States military base, and we went to the church at the chapel on base. We had a Baptist preacher, a fist-pounding, voice-raising Baptist preacher who got thrown off every now and then when his little five-year-old son would get up and say, "Hi, Daddy." And we also had a Methodist preacher who, by comparison, was far away from the Baptist as far as his preaching style. But both played a role in helping me develop a new picture of what God was calling me to do. And, well, one night, a person was continuing to be a disruptive and group-splitting influence, and the Reverend Bill had had all he could take. He exploded for what Bill would consider, but he exploded in front of the rest of the group that we will expel the bad apple. We don't need to put up with that, and we won't in this small group. Whoa. Later, when he and I were alone, I asked him, "Bill, can we do that? I mean, can we tell someone they can't participate in this church small group?" "Oh, and can preachers really get angry?" Bill said yes to both questions. He said, "You know, there are expectations to being a part of a group, even a Christian group. Perhaps even especially a group, Christian group. And if you can't meet those expectations, then it's time to be removed from the group." "Of course," he added, "the Christian has to go back and help the outcast get back into the fold. And that's where God's grace comes in." And he said, "Yes, as pastors, we can get angry. We're human. We have feelings and frustrations and get tired just like anybody else. And it's because we are human that we are like God. More than anything else in this creation, humanity are like God. And God gets angry." Well, that was the last piece of the God incidents that had been piling up in my life that allowed me to quit my job that provided a lifestyle of comfort and excitement and excess that Donna and I had been grown accustomed to. Something clicked that night. I knew that night that I was not going to be able to run away anymore. I was just about to find myself giving it all to Jesus, and the last piece of the puzzle was put in place. God's time was just about at hand. God does get angry, and so do we. For you see, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. If God can get angry, I suppose we can too. Aristotle said, "You know, anybody can get angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person, at the right time, at the right degree, and for the right purpose, and in the right way. Now, that's not within everybody's power, and that's not easy. But I think that's easy for God. As we study the Bible, we learn that God gets angry, but he gets angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, and for the right purpose, and in the right way. I think God gets angry when we don't step up to do what he's asked us to do. I know he gets angry toward those who oppose him and toward those who do harm to others. I think a case can be made that God gets angry when we complain and don't recognize the many blessings that he pours out on us, or when we indulge in immoral living, or when we get into the way, when we get into the way of God's work. Moses had a hard time stepping up. God showed up in a burning bush. He got Moses' attention. That was the easy part. Moses was curious until God started explaining what he had in mind for Moses to do. Remember Moses' reply? It was a litany of excuses. And then the Lord's anger burned against Moses we read in Exodus 4:14, God does get angry. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. Also in Exodus. Of course, we read in Leviticus, if in spite of this you still do not listen to me, but continue to be hostile toward me, then in my anger I will be hostile toward you. And I myself will punish you for your sins 7 times over. Oh, but that's Old Testament, preacher. That's what I told you earlier. In Hebrews, we read, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I had done. That's why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. Paul continues in Romans, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. Now the people complained of their hardship in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And as we read in Mark, he looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So, I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of their ways. I will strike her children dead. Sounds to me like God gets angry. The God of Sinai is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is immutable. He does not mellow with the passage of time. God gets angry in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and today. God does get angry, but he gets angry with the right person and to the right degree and at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way. We who are made in the image of God get angry for the same reasons, don't we? We get angry when people don't step up to what we believe is something that we think they ought to step up to. We get angry when we are opposed, when others do harm. We get angry with ourselves when we indulge in immoral living, when we find ourselves complaining and not recognizing God's blessings, and when we get angry when we get in the way of God's work. We get angry to know that there's war going on and people dying. We get angry when we don't do more to help the hungry, to clothe the naked, to pray for the lost. So God does get angry. But he doesn't stop there, because God does not leave us there. We need to know how to deal with our anger. Let's deal with our anger as God does with his. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And so we must also be forgiving, slow to anger, compassionate, and abounding in love. Understanding that God does get angry, but loves us all the same. That's a Bible lesson that we need to know and remember. How many people remember September 11, 2001? It's one of those moments that you knew and remember where you were and what you were doing. That's when those dirty, rotten, putrid, heathen, heartless, barbaric, uneducated people crashed into the World Trade Center. That's when those people crashed into the Pentagon, crashed into the field short of their destination, killing people around them, crashed into our world. They crashed into America. They can't do that. And Americans walked around in a dazed and in disbelief and in shock. And when the numbness wore off just a little, we were angry. And then as Christians, we were confused. Every time we saw something on TV or heard on the radio about that day, we were racked with grief and shaken with anger. How could somebody do that to us? How could they do such a thing? And we were confused. And we were conflicted because we knew that we were not to hate. We were to love our neighbor. But we didn't just now. And we did hate. And as we remember the anger that we felt, maybe still feel, we need to know that God gets angry. And so do we. We need to understand this so that we can respond appropriately. I found a random quote that a man named Clayton said. If religion has done nothing for your temper, your anger, it has done nothing for your soul. And so we face our own anger in whatever form or degree we find ourselves in. Perhaps we're still angry at those people who crashed into our world. Perhaps we're angry at self-inflicted problems. Sadness, helplessness. But let us come together at the cross. For it is there that we can leave our feelings of hate and confusion and come away forgiving and forgiven. Come away loving and loved. Look now at the cross. Feel the love that Jesus poured out there for you and for many while we were yet sinners. And out of our anger comes forgiveness. Release our anger so that we are free to know God's love. Out of anger comes compassion as we recognize the harm that we have caused others because of our sin. Out of our anger comes abounding love, a love that allows us to share the good news with all that we meet. Let us in everything know God's love and know the special joy from sharing that love with others. Let us pray. Father, as you made us in your image, you allow us to be angry. We pray that you also help us to give up that anger to you so that we may live abundantly in your love, sharing your love with others. For we prayed in our Savior's name. Amen.